Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
It's all around us. We are a society awash in hypersexual imagery, and some of it going so far as to be pornographic. As a matter of fact, a lot of it. And so you end up having to talk with your kids about it. You have to deal with it yourself in your marriage. You want some help? Maybe working through trouble with pornography. Maybe talking with your children about it. Maybe what am I supposed to say in this environment? That's what this hour is about. Second hour of Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. The number, if you have questions, comments, concerns in the area of pornography, and particularly what we will call the porn myth, 888-318-7884 is the number. That's 888-31-TRUTH. And our guest this hour is the author of a number one best-selling book. Well, it's on Amazon at the moment, currently is, and has been for weeks, The Porn Myth, Exposing the Reality Behind the Fantasy of Pornography. Matt Frad. Matt is the director of content development for Integrity Restored, and he is, in addition to being a best-selling author, a popular speaker, and he's the co-creator of Victory, an app that provides a strategic battle plan for winning the struggle against pornography. He lives in Georgia with his wife Cameron and their children. Matt Frad, thank you very much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Sy. It's great to be with you for the first time.
I know. It's I'm very happy to get to actually speak with you. The book is fantastic.
And now, do you really mean that, or did you just glance at it five seconds before we went on?
I've never seen this book before. They just put this thing in my hands.
This was amazing. Here, couldn't put it down.
Here's what you have to say about it. This book is fantastic. That's not really true. I was impressed with the myths, like you called it the porn myth, but I didn't realize that when I got into it, it would be – each chapter would say a sentence that you have actually heard these sentences said about pornography. Right. And then you debunk them and then help us to kind of work through them. Some of these – like I remember one – I can't find the chapter now. It was about how pornography will help cut down on rape and sexual abuse. Like people say that. Mm-hmm. And then your chapter is fantastic. Well, that's what they told me to say.
Thank you very much
for saying what they told me to say.
I appreciate them, and I appreciate whoever gave you those lines to say. Really nice.
Well, what gave you the idea to do this? Is it because you're just tired of hearing these, like, people will come back at you? This is, in many ways, your life's ministry.
Yeah, I guess so, accidentally, you know. Yeah. I've been working on this book for 3 years. It's a non-religious response to pro-porn arguments, as you say. So there's no mention of sin or Christ or redemption, as vital as I think that those things are. I think just like we – living in a secular culture, need a secular response to say why abortion is bad.
Yeah.
Right? I think we can do the same thing with pornography. And over the last, 40 years, there's been a lot of research coming out of academia, sociology, neurology, psychology, that's all saying that porn is detrimental to us as individuals, to our relationships, and to society. So I wanted to kind of like write a book and just stuff as much of that research that I could. So as you see, like the back, there's almost 40 pages in the bibliography, and a lot of these is peer-reviewed literature, experts in the field. What are they saying? So hopefully like this will help you, listener, if you haven't really heard a good scientific or logical case against pornography, but it'll also enable you to give to friends. Because usually the first thing friends will say to us is, this is a religious thing, which again is another myth, right?
Yeah.
That only religious people would be upset against it. So that's why I wrote it.
Right. And it's odd. Well, it strikes me as odd that there is so much, just an overwhelming wave of secular evidence that this is not good for us. It's not good for the people who are performing in it or producing it. It's not good for the people who are consuming it. It's not good for the families of people who are consuming it. And yet, like, it's not treated like cigarettes or something. I don't want to talk about it.
It's beginning to be.
Oh, you think so? Oh, you think the tide is turning a little bit on that?
Yeah, just a couple of days ago, the fourth state in the U.S. Declared pornography a public health crisis, and other states, I think Virginia said it was a public health concern or something slightly different. But so many people are beginning to talk out about this. You know, comedian Chris Rock?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't about, know personally.
Yeah, I've met him. He's awesome. Yeah. About two nights ago, he did a stand-up routine where he courageously shared how pornography negatively impacted his life and was part of what contributed to his marital breakdown and these sorts of things. You know, you got Terry Crews talking about it, Pamela Anderson. You know, when Pamela Anderson is talking about it, you know, something's going on.
Yeah.
James Hetfield, lead singer of Metallica, is right now narrating an anti-pornography documentary. I could go on and on, but it seems to me we've reached a tipping point in our culture such that every individual either has been negatively impacted by pornography or knows and loves somebody who has been.
Yeah.
And so the old worn out mantras from the porn industry about why porn is adult entertainment that can help your marital, you know, sexual life and these sorts of things, they seem increasingly ridiculous in light of the evidence that's beginning to mount higher and higher. It took a while, didn't it, for people to begin listening to the science that said that tobacco causes cancer, that it can be addictive. Now, I'm certainly not equating the morality, obviously, of tobacco and pornography, but just the point is it took a while for us to realize that this is bad for us. And you can go on YouTube right now and see these tobacco apologists who are paid big bucks by tobacco industries to lie in courts of law saying, no, there's no good reason to think that it's addictive. The science is a lot more confusing than you think. And you watch it now and it seems like The Office, you know, where no one's laughing in the background, but it feels like they should be.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing with pornography. So I speak to about 50 to 70,000 teens and college students every year. And every school I go to, there's two or three people who tell me they're writing papers against pornography. They're speaking out about it in their community. Dude, it's exciting.
It is.
It's an exciting time to be an anti-porn speaker.
I'm very glad to hear that because I think maybe I have a little sense of despair almost. And the despair comes – and that's really a bad position for a Christian to come at.
No, no. We're going to hell in a handbasket. There's no question about it. But there's just some exciting people in the basket with us.
The thing is that when you see the age of exposure to what's called hardcore pornography goes down and down and down. I have been reading about this.
Yeah.
And so that it's like for some populations, it's like 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so destructive that, but I don't know, maybe those people will grow up to have a sense of the destructive power of pornography,
exactly.
Or they'll just be destroyed by it. I don't know.
I think both are happening. Are happening right now. Time magazine just last year ran a full article on all the detrimental effects we're learning about. And the subtitle was something like, why the guys who grew up with internet pornography are now the advocates for turning it off.
Good. You know?
And often it's because they see deleterious effects in their own person, right? Like erectile dysfunction, brain fog, an inability to take interest in things they used to find interest in, these sorts of things. So a lot of these people are beginning to speak out about it. This is by no means a religious issue.
Well, I did not see this, but I believe there was a movie about a guy, like a Hollywood movie, about a guy who has used pornography for so long that he's desensitized. He can't have regular relationships. Right. Do you know the movie I'm talking about?
I think I do, but the name's escaping me.
Don Juan or no?
Yeah, no, yeah,
Don John.
Yeah. Yes, I never watched it, and I wouldn't recommend people watch it because I know there's a lot of provocative material in it that could be triggering. But my understanding is, while there were some negative messages, there was also some good ones. It was basically trying to have a conversation
about it. Yeah,
and I think the reason we all heard about it is because we're all ready to have this conversation.
Is this a thing, like, is a thing that's really happening in people's lives that they're so overexposed to pornography that they're not actually interested in sexual relations with a real person?
Yeah, buckle up. Here we go. So.
Have I moved into a territory that's uncomfortable?
No, not for me, dude. This is my life. But it might be for our listeners. So heads up, listeners. I'm not going to be graphic. But if you have young children in the car, now's a good time to maybe turn it down and download the episode later. But I would say, yeah, like Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler is the clinical urologist at Harvard Medical School, and he really drew a lot of attention to what he calls porn-induced erectile dysfunction. Now, Norman Doidge, who wrote the book The Brain That Changes Itself, brilliant book, published by Penguin Books, he says this really isn't erectile dysfunction so much as it is porn-induced impotency, because with erectile dysfunction, the problem is blood flow, right? But with this impotency we're referring to, the distinction he's making is the problem isn't below the belt, it's between the ears. Mm-hmm. So I've met really fit 20-year-olds, people in their, you know, mid-20s, they're not Christian, so they have no moral qualms with, you know, having sex outside of marriage. And they'll say stuff to me like, I tried to have sex with my girlfriend and I couldn't. And then this one person said, and it broke my heart, he said, you know what's sad? I know that if I was looking at that same thing on a screen, I could have.
Oh, that is heartbreaking. It's such a...
Yeah. I know some of your listeners are probably hearing me saying that I'm okay with fornication. But this is where people are at. And for many people, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. They're like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that looking at pictures could do this to me.
Yeah.
And now so many of these young guys, be they atheist, agnostic, Jew, Muslim, Christian, are all beginning to kind of band together on websites like nofap.com, Your Brain on Porn, Reboot Nation, just to share their stories and to get help, because the good news is the damage can be reversed.
And that's what I far from you, you know, approving of sex outside of marriage or something like that. It seems to me that you have to have a basic level of compassion. You've really hurt yourself when you've gotten to the point where you can't engage in a relationship with another person. Mm-hmm. It has to be an image.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've fried our brain on celluloid cyberspace, and now we can't even become aroused around a real human person. And that's not good.
No. More with Matt Frad. The Porn Myth is the book. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. Happy to take your calls. We'll get to the calls that are waiting when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
We've all heard the words at the end of Mass.
Go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord.
But how exactly are you to do that? In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, apologist Eric Sammons takes you back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did when he preached the good news and drawing out the lessons he taught us. All evangelization begins with a personal encounter, and so Sammons examines Jesus' most instructive gospel encounters and discovers within each a particular truth that even 2,000 years later can help us make new disciples. Evangelization is not an option, but Christ's express command. What better way to answer this call than by imitating his supreme example? Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Where can you find the answers to hundreds of the most common questions about the Catholic faith? Catholic Answers 20 Answer Series, that's where. Clear, concise, and easy to carry, the 20 Answer Series from Catholic Answers Press offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. They're available individually, at special bulk prices, or you can get a starter pack of all 20 at a very special price. And remember, you can now purchase them as ebooks for reading on your mobile devices. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com today to get your copies of all the titles in this exciting new series, or ask for them at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
888-318-7884 is the number if you're watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. Hello to all of you. You can type in questions there, or you can use that same number, 888-318-7885, to make a call. We are talking with Matt Frad, the author of a book that is, what we can say is it's a bestseller. What we can say, we hope, is that it is really making a difference in people's lives. The Porn Myth, Exposing the Reality Behind the Fantasy of Pornography. And the issues are everything from, like, one of them I was actually going to ask you about, but I think you went into this already about it's just fantasy. It's not real life. You know, I'm just looking at all the way to like myths about that performers in pornographic movies or videos or whatever, that they really enjoy this, that they really want to be doing this. And so it's like from every, well, I don't want to say from every angle it has but it's from any kind of myth you've got about pornography. Yeah. It does seem like you've addressed it here. Matt Frad, how do you feel about going to calls right now?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. We have a call from Anonymous in Groton, Connecticut, watching on YouTube. Hello, Anonymous. You are on with Matt Frad. What's your question?
Matt and Cy, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work with Pints of Aquinas, especially in the Integrity Restored podcast. I want to personally thank you. I was a mopedimus in your last Porn Myth book contest. I got your book, and thank you very much.
Hey, awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, good.
Okay. I was told I was allowed to ask two quick questions, so let me get the first one. Sure. I think I heard from you and other Catholic resources that Sexaholics Anonymous was, and its definition of sobriety is the best resource because it's generally in line with Catholic teaching. If that's not available, are others such as Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous adequate, especially since they're known as the Augustine Fellowship?
Right. So I think what I would want to say is SA, going to a Sexaholics Anonymous meeting is a great idea. And if you go to sa.org, find a meeting, they have three options. You can meet face-to-face, but like you say, there might not be someone in your area. So you can actually do phone meetings, which is the next best thing. Or you can take the first step and do internet meetings. So there's more options than just this one. The second one that you mentioned has a different description of sobriety. And so you might encounter people there, say, in same-sex relationships and other types of relationships that you yourself might find immoral. So you would just have to be kind of okay being in the same space of other people who have different definitions when it comes to their sobriety. So I guess it would just be up to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. And then the second question, in the book, you and earlier you referred to nofap.com, which has been a great but also secular resource. Do you have any plans to make a Catholic or Christian equivalent on Integrity Restored?
Well, right now by the way, NoFap is fantastic. My friend Alexander founded it. He's an agnostic on a good day, I think. He's a great guy. And yeah, there's about 200,000, for those who don't know, members in there, many of whom are non-religious, and it's amazing. So we started a little Facebook group. If you type Integrity Restored parentheses men, there's about, I think, around about 800 men in there talking. We also have one for women, Integrity Restored Women. What do you think? Do you think it would be a good idea? I don't want to compete, but do you think it'd be a good idea to have a subreddit group for just Catholics?
You know, I'd certainly be more interested in having one, you know, where you don't necessarily kind of just what you were talking about with Sexaholics Anonymous. You don't have you don't have to worry about the other definitions. I think would certainly be useful.
You know, I just did a video interview with a friend of mine. His name's Noah Church. Noah's a good friend. He's an atheist, okay? So we clearly have a lot of disagreements. But I think we can learn from our atheist friends. And I think they can learn from us because we're both coming at this thing from different worldviews and we focus on different things. And I think one of the ways we need to grow as Christians when it comes to this issue of sobriety is not treating it like a solely religious issue. And I think too often we have this pietistic understanding of recovery. You know, if I just pray a rosary every day, then I won't look at pornography. But then you have like thousands of men and women doing that and they're still looking at pornography. And then maybe you'll encounter people on NoFap who are non-religious and maybe they say some things that are vulgar or even triggering. And so for that reason, you might not want to be on there. But they might also be saying other things about recovery that are very helpful. So I really do feel like we can learn from each other. But certainly if you're in a place like that where you feel the language is triggering or unhelpful, I'd say go to Integrity Restored, parentheses men, and join the Facebook group there and start and join the discussion.
Thank you very much, Anonymous. We go now to Dominique in South Windsor, Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Dominique, you are on with Matt Frad. What's your question?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Did you have a question for Matt?
Here. Well, I have a statement and then a question.
Okay.
I'll start off with I do concur that exposure to pornography from a young age, being for me five up until mid-40s, which was destructive, destroyed me, destroyed my marriage, destroyed my relationship with my kids, which I'm still trying to rebuild. Mm. I guess, yeah, I mean, I just was ignoring a lot of things, anything from that the women that are behind the scenes, as you said, on the pictures, or at the strip clubs are enjoying it, to that there's no human trafficking involved. With all that said, how do you move forward, you know, so that you're not triggered by everything?
Yeah.
Example would be going to a store and all of a sudden there's a Maxim magazine that, okay, while not per se porn, definitely provocative pose up, usually on the front covers.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, Dominique, I just want to say God love you and bless you. Everyone listening to you, including myself and Sai, we have all done things and engaged in behaviors that we're ashamed of. And it says a lot about you that you would have the humility to recognize the ways in which you failed, right? Just like I failed, just like Sai's failed, just like everyone's failed, and then do something about it. So congratulations for having that humility. That's awesome. There are three things when it comes to long-term recovery that I would suggest. I mean, there's the short-term stuff, like accountability software, having an accountability partner, educating yourself about the harms of pornography, right? Those are sort of like the obvious things that you obviously should be doing or else you have no hope. But as far as the things that bring the most long-term healing, here's the three things I would suggest. One would be finding a therapist. Okay. Okay. Full disclosure. I just went to my first therapy session today. I've never been to therapy before. I need therapy, I think. So I went today. All right. There's no shame in wanting to be a whole man of God. There are people in our lives who need us to be that. So finding someone who is certified in sex addiction therapy, right? And one of the ways you can do that is by going to our website, integrityrestored.com, go to getting help, find a therapist, and then you can punch in your postal code and it'll take you to places in your area. That'd be number one. Number two, I would say to find a sex addiction therapist, to find an SA group in your area. I mentioned that a moment ago. So even if it's something like you haven't looked at porn in a few months, right, or 6 months, if you continually feel that tug on your heart towards pornography, that this is a daily battle, right? Addiction doesn't necessarily mean one's looking at this super regularly. It could mean that you look at it once every 6 months, but you're sort of white-knuckling it, you know? So I'd say that'd be the second thing. And then the third thing I'd say would be finding a good spiritual director who can help you with your God image, you know, healing the idea that God is, you know, upset with me, that I've disappointed him, that I'm beyond forgiveness and these sorts of things. I mean, look, those three things take time and effort and maybe money, okay? But it works. So those are the three things I'd suggest. And just by the by, I don't know your story, and so forgive me if this is insensitive or if it doesn't relate to you. But if you wanted to reach out to your family and apologize to them, I'm sure you've done that already. But one way to do that might be to write a letter to each of them, because when you write a letter, no one's going to interrupt you, right? They get to read it without being defensive, as if like if you're in their presence speaking to them. Write them each a heartfelt letter. Write them a letter as if you were going to die tonight. What would you want to say to them? Pray for the courage to do that. Write the letter, send it to them. I'm sure you've been to confession, and then trust in the Lord's mercy. You know, I remember having a friend of mine, I said to him, were you ever worried about screwing up your kids? And he said, no, I'd hate to deprive them of healing. So know that the Lord can heal your children.
Thank you, Dominique, for that call. Many more calls on the line to get to when we come back with Matt Frad, the author of The Porn Myth. We are talking about just that very topic. I have to say, I don't appreciate you telling the entire world I've done things I'm ashamed of. I've been trying to hide that. That's what shame is for.
I meant Patrick Coffin.
Oh, Patrick Coffin. Okay. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll see you in just a minute.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day, in conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a great resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic. So finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
With his new DVD, Understanding Revelation, Decoding the Bible's Most Mysterious Book, Jimmy Akin unlocks the secrets of Revelation so that anyone can understand them. Packed with almost 2 hours of eye-opening material, it paints an entirely different picture of the book of Revelation than the one most people already have. The book of Revelation was meant to reveal God's message to his church. And in Understanding Revelation, Jimmy Akin shows you how it does exactly that. Order your copy of Understanding Revelation today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Saturday on EWTN, Call Me Catholic with Peggy Norman-Dean. Peggy discusses the importance of giving back to the community with Annette Walker and Christopher Furman, recipients of the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity in the Diocese of Orange. Call Me Catholic airs at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And right after Catholic Answers Live today, Father Spitzer's Universe. Father Robert Spitzer and Doug Keck discuss the Shroud of Turin and the historicity of Jesus' resurrection right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy to have you back with us. And since it's Friday, I do want to I don't want to eat into your time, Matt Frad, but we have a TV show now. We have a TV show. Did you know that?
Congrats.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, I've heard you mention it.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And the same people that told me to say The Porn Myth is a fantastic book told me don't forget to mention the TV show.
Okay.
But both are true. I really wanted to talk about, and I really do think it's a fantastic book. And
thanks.
And I will just say you and I were talking a little bit at the break, and that one of the things that's really important in, especially in, I think, religious media, is not to pretend like we don't have problems ourselves. Not to pretend like, oh, I'm holy now because I have this microphone in front of me or something.
Yeah.
And people struggle. So I was teasing you about why are you telling the world that I've done shameful things in my past? But I actually admire you very much, and I admire the callers very much, and I think it's very important that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and when pretending otherwise doesn't do any of us any good. And so thank you for that, Matt Frad. May I go to calls now?
Yes, please.
All right. I have your blessing. Okay, we go to Mia in San Antonio, Texas, watching on YouTube. Hi, Mia. You are on with Matt Frad. What's the question?
Hey, I admire y'all too. Okay. My question for Matt is, how would you respond to the mindset of someone who says that they're a sex-positive feminist? In other words, someone who publicly posts, whether it's online, through social media, nude, pornographic images, but for the purpose of, what they say, self-love and empowerment.
Right. Great question. So I feel like whenever we enter a dialogue with someone that we disagree with or we're not sure if we agree with, the very first thing we should do is define our terms. So you might want to say, what do you mean by sex positive, or what do you mean by feminist? Because perhaps her definition of feminist also aligns with yours. But really, there's nothing sex positive about pornography, like retreating to your bedroom to have an intimate encounter with your iPhone. Watching people pretending to like you, this isn't sex positive. In fact, one of the most sex positive things one can do is quit pornography. Now, you say, what did you say to somebody who posts pictures of themselves online for self-love? Well, certainly one can feel glad if people are paying one attention and saying, you know, in one way or another, complimenting one. I mean, it's like the same. It's why we tweet. It's why we send pictures of our stupid food and coffee on Instagram. We like the attention. We like the likes. We like people saying things about us. So you wouldn't want to argue with that. You would want to say what you desire is to be seen. And that's a beautiful thing, right? Like, we all desire to see and to be seen, to know and to be known. And you might say, and the reason I think that's true is that we were created in the image and likeness of God, who is love. So since we've been created in the image and likeness of love, a life without love becomes senseless. But you might challenge her and say, but I just want to suggest this to you, that what you're calling self-love is really self-exploitation, right? Feminist pornography is an oxymoron, right? Like, selling, as it were, your body for people to masturbate to can only feed a system of oppression, not, you know, cure the oppression. You know, Gail Dines is a colleague in the sense that we've spoken at different conferences together. She wrote a book called Pornland: How Porn Has Hijacked Our Sexuality. Now, from all I can tell, she's a secular Jew, and the book, I wouldn't recommend that Catholics read it. It has some graphic parts in it. But the reason I suggest it to you, Mia, is that, you know, she is a staunch feminist, and she thinks that seems to think the primary problem with the world is patriarchy. So it's okay, I think, to meet people where they're at. So, you know, you might give her my book, The Porn Myth, and say, look, this is a non-religious book. And she might be open to that. But you also might consider giving her a book by Gail Dines, right? And by the way, I cite a bunch of different feminists in my book, The Porn Myth, which argue against pornography and why it's liberating to women. So those would be a couple of things I'd suggest.
Mia, how's that sound?
Great. But one of the things that I've also noticed is that the sex-positive kind of feminist approach, I've heard from both men and women. Not just women, which I just thought that was interesting as well.
Oh, you hear? You mean this is quite a term, the idea of being sex positive. But you're saying that you hear sex positive feminist messages from both men and women?
Correct. Yes, especially regarding porn and images online. So
right.
I will definitely read.
I can't help but take the bait here, right? Language is important, and we shouldn't let people hijack it. So I consider myself tremendously sex positive. That's why I don't masturbate to my computer, because that isn't sex, you know? Like, the reason I'm against porn is precisely because I'm for sex. And so I would say to this person, if you're pro-science and pro-love, then there's a really good reason for you to be anti-porn.
I hear you. Great answers.
Thank you, Mia. Thanks very much for that call. Let's move to Toby in Morgantown, West Virginia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Toby, you are on with Matt Fradd. What's your question?
Yeah, I just also wanted to make a comment that I really appreciate the work you did, Matt. I've heard you on EWTN over the years, and I appreciate the long-term perspective you gave some of the people that have called in today, that, you know, when they're trying to deal with this issue, to not lose hope and just to hang in there. Keep trying with what works. But my question was, is there a good filtering software for Apple products or iPhones? I've found in the past when I looked that most things were geared towards Windows, and maybe they work on Android. Is there anything good for the Apple products?
So let me say a couple of things. Number one, Covenant Eyes is simply the best thing out there, right? Like, if there was a better filtering or accountability software, I would talk about it. There isn't. Now, the reason it's difficult for Apple is that Apple has a privacy policy that doesn't allow third-party apps to look into other apps. And for that reason, it's not going to, right now, filter your Instagram, your Twitter, your Google Chrome. You would have to download the Covenant Eyes browser and just use that. I know that that's changing if it hasn't changed already. So that would be what I would recommend. But here's another thing I'd recommend. I do this on my phone. I don't do it because I'm afraid I'd look at porn. I do it because I feel like I'm getting addicted to social media. I gave my phone to my wife, and I said, go into settings, and I want you to set a passcode for me that blocks the App Store. So she did that. And then I went and I deleted Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and for me, I deleted my browser. And the reason for that is, you know, I do want to have a smartphone. I want it to be able to help me navigate. I want to get my Delta tickets so I can, you know, check in easily at the airport. But I really don't need a lot of this distracting entertainment. And so for that reason, you can essentially make your smartphone a dumb phone. So that might be a good idea as well. Final thing I'd say is this. Look, every filtering and accountability software out there is going to be a pain in the butt to some degree, all right? That's right now, that's just the fact of it. And we might think, I don't want to do that. Occasionally it blocks a page I want to go to, and that can be a legitimate complaint. But we might want to ask ourselves, what would I rather? You know, would I rather the difficulty of having software that occasionally inconveniences me? Or do I want to have unbridled internet access, which I know I'm going to turn to porn on? And so sometimes we just have to, you know, choose what's a little more difficult for the sake of not falling.
Yeah, that's really great information, because I had already deleted the Safari browser or Wikipedia or anything that was linked to the internet. But I was wondering if I could give it to my wife and have a code where I could log into the App Store. I didn't know if there was, and I'm glad to hear that there is.
Covenant Eyes is really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Covenant Eyes, I didn't know they had their own browser. I thought it was something put over top of Safari.
Nope.
That's good to know. But another thing I wanted to comment on, I had to delete a weather app yesterday because of an ad. I couldn't believe it. I've had this weather app on my phone for like 5 years, never seen anything that I can remember out of line. And an advertisement yesterday, I could not believe it. I deleted it immediately. And went back to Yahoo Weather, didn't have any advertising as far as I can tell.
Yeah, good for you. One really quick piece of advice I'd offer to our listeners is when you encounter pornographic material or something lustful or sexually provocative, don't just pray against the temptation, pray for her or pray for him, because these are people. And so I think what we should do is, like, Lord Jesus, I give you this man, I give you this woman, I ask that you would bless them, you know, whatever. Bit of advice.
Thank you very much, Toby, for that call. I have to say, Matt, the world now is biased towards people who are good with technology. Like, if you're good with technology, you can make stuff work, and if you're not, you can't. And I remember when we first started getting computer connections for my kids, trying to figure out blocking software and all that. They were innocent. I didn't know what – it was really hard. It was very, very hard. You know, there's nothing – I don't even know today if I know about – you probably know, but that can block things at the level of the – you know, because there's so many computers, phone computers and book readers and all these things in the house. I wanted something that could kind of filter things at the modem level.
And those exist. Yeah.
Do they? Because I called my cable company and they were like, no, never heard of that before.
Disney puts out one.
Oh, they do?
So. They're good because, you know, you can make a white list of pages so that people can go to no other pages but the ones you set.
Yeah.
So that's great. The only problem with them, of course, is you're not really training accountability. So your son or daughter can walk down the road and access pornography from another person's Wi-Fi.
Right. So, and I kind of, because of my technical failure, I suppose, I don't know. Maybe I was a total failure at this. Maybe this is one of the things I'm ashamed of in my life.
Yeah.
It is the case that the technology, some people can do it, and for many people it's hard. And so even that what you're saying right there, I think I never would have thought of that. Never.
Yeah, I would just say to people, don't be afraid to call up Covenant Eyes. Their whole customer support staff is up in Michigan, and they will sit on the phone with you until you figure it out. They're not trying to get you through like Starbucks tries to get you through when you go through their drive-thru. They will sit on the phone with you, so don't be afraid. Yeah, to give them a call and yeah, ask them all the questions you think might be stupid.
Yeah, because you know, with kids, if some children are like that, one man said 5 years old was his first exposure to pornography. If the longer you can push that off for kids,
that's right.
the I think you're doing them a service. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Matt Frad. Our topic, the porn myth, today on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be back with you in just a minute.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Catholic Answers Live comes to EWTN Television.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church, from doctrinal issues to family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers Live TV, Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 21, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John were fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. When they saw Jesus standing on the shore, he told them to cast their nets over the right side of the boat. They did, and were not able to pull the net in because of the great number of fish. Immediately they recognized him. He already had roasted some fish, and they had breakfast with him. The meal was joy-filled because they knew him and had spent so many hours with him. He had become the center of their existence. So being united with him again filled them with such delight. Do you see any parallels here? Do you see where I'm going with this? To the extent that we center our lives around him, to that degree will we ever be able to delight in his presence in a union that will never end. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Final segment of the week for us here at Catholic Answers Live. So Matt Frad, try to make it good. Try, you know, we don't want to have a...
You got it.
We don't want to
screw
kinda,
this up.
Yeah, don't mess it up. The Porn Myth is Matt's book. The website that goes with the book, thepornmyth.com. And I know something about the porn myth that Matt won't tell you. I have a secret about it, and I know you won't say it, Matt Frad. All the royalties from this best-selling book are going to the Children of the Immaculate Heart, which is an extraordinary ministry based here in San Diego. Grace Williams is the founder and shepherd of the whole deal, and it helps young people who have been sexually trafficked. Do I have that about right? Like that's basic.
You do. Except I told you to say this on the air, so it's not a humility thing for me. I want people to know. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
100% of the royalties all go to this group. And it's just something me and Jesus and my wife spoke about. And I joke with my wife, if the book's really successful, maybe I'm going to regret doing this. But no, 100% of the royalties all go to help this beautiful apostolate in San Diego who helps support trafficked women. So, you know, I push this book not for financial reasons, not that there's anything wrong with that, but just because I think it's a very good book that'll equip people, and they're also going to be supporting that apostolate. So everyone should go out right now and get it. The Porn Myth, and that would be good.
Yeah, you should.
You'd make me happy.
When the three of you were voting, how did Jesus vote on the royalties?
Jesus, I believe, told us to do it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's not a voting situation. Ah, amen to that. Yeah. But
that was beautiful.
Boy, yeah, that is like one of the things Jesus says. I really believe in that.
Because I worship security. So he said, well, how about we take this little idol here and let me just bang it a... wash. I'm like, okay, Jesus, thanks.
Yeah, good. Very good. Let's go to, well, I got to remember where I was. Carly in San Diego, right here in San Diego, listening on Catholic.com. You are on with Matt Frad. What's your question, Carly?
Hey there. I just got your book and I read it.
And
I'm a student at JP Catholic, right? So I read your book. I loved it. And I wanted to thank you first for writing it. And it's a great apologetic work that you did. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. That's nice of you.
Yeah. My question was kind of regarding the chapter where you discussed Fifty Shades of Grey and the fan fiction phenomenon. Now, like in my generation, that's like a huge, huge deal. And to me, like, it seems like a really, really big problem and not a lot of people are talking about it. And I was just kind of wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on, especially the fan fiction, like, phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, I think there's nothing wrong with fan fiction, but there is something wrong with pornography. So maybe we need to define our terms. And in the book, I loosely define pornography like this. Pornography is material that depicts erotic behavior, which is intended to sexually arouse. So notice that isn't naked art, right? That's not an anatomy book in your college classroom. But we should ask, well, is 50 Shades of Stupid, however poorly written, is it material that depicts erotic behavior, which is intended to sexually arouse? And I think the answer is obviously yes. And so therefore, 50 Shades of Grey is pornographic. And now, does that mean that all forms of pornography are equally wicked? No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, obviously, when we think of the centerfold in the Playboy magazine, right? By the way, Playboy just brought back in nudity, so it was a great publicity stunt that they pulled a couple of years ago by removing it. All right, when we think of the centerfold, that's clearly less bad than, say, child pornography, right? So there's obviously a spectrum here, and sometimes it might be a little blurry. But less bad doesn't mean good. That would be like saying, if I smoke one packet of cigarettes a day, that's less bad than smoking five packets, therefore it's healthy. Well, no, it's not healthy. And neither is things like 50 Shades of Grey and other erotica literature, because what they do is often reinforce very similar misogynistic stereotypes. They're often created in order for people to masturbate to them, which is another irrational and sinful behavior. So my advice would be, instead of consuming poorly written erotica, open up your mind to more classical works of literature. I'm not saying things that are almost impossible to read, but you do read so you can sound smart, but just read more wholesome literature that can expand your creative palette and ability rather than truncate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Carly.
Thanks very much, Carly. I know you were talking about James Joyce there.
That's right.
I know that's what that was about. Chantel in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM. You are on with Matt Frad. What's your question?
Hi. Yes. So I'm calling in regards to my boyfriend. We've been together for about a year and a half. We met a month after he got out of the Marine Corps. But since then, he's been struggling with pornography. He said that even while he was serving in the Marine Corps, that it was actually encouraged by those in command. And so, 4 years abroad and, I guess learning new things. He's just been struggling with it and I know he's trying and, it just seems like a constant battle. I wanted to see if you had any advice.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of things I would say. One's going to sound really nice and the other's going to sound really harsh, but you take it for what it's worth. I think first of all, we should congratulate anyone when they're humble enough to acknowledge they have a problem and need to change. We can recognize that. We can praise a person for that. So I would say that your boyfriend needs to be going maybe to a therapist, right? What is he doing to rid himself completely of this sin? It's not enough to sort of pussyfoot around with sins like this that destroy the soul and destroy marriages. And so unless you see within him this full-throated, energetic desire and pursuit of purity, then I think you should leave him. And if he is pursuing that, if he is seeing a therapist, if he is doing all the right things, and yet this is something he's still falling to on a regular basis, like let's say you are my sister, because I have no right to speak to you like this, but hey, here we go. I would say you should leave him, because someone who is immersed in pornography is incapacitated to love you. And I cannot tell you how many stories of wives who are desperately lonely and who are desperately upset, who wish they hadn't, they wish they knew what they know now about, say, their husbands who are addicted to pornography. And so you should realize, like, that, and I know you know this, so forgive me for speaking to you if this sounds condescending. I don't mean it to be. You aren't, you know, your boyfriend's savior. He doesn't need you to overcome this. You can point him in the right direction. You should give him my book, The Porn Myth, right? You should congratulate him where you see him striving to be pure, but it's not your responsibility to remain in a toxic relationship. I think it might even, you might even be called to leave it, because none of us are supposed to put ourselves in that sort of relationship. So please take that for what it's worth. I don't know you. I don't know your boyfriend. I don't know how, you know, involved he is with pornography. So I hope you can apply that in some way.
Definitely. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chantel, very much for that call. We go now to Rick in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Rick, I think you've been waiting a long time. I'm sorry for that. What's your question for Matt Frad?
I think it kind of piggybacks on the previous caller. Let's say that that person eventually hits rock bottom. What do you say to somebody who's basically given up on ever getting over this?
Well, you can say that's your it depends on the relationship. But one thing you could say is, OK, well, fine, give up. You don't have to be free of pornography if you don't want to be. Like, you can, you know, go rent out a cheap room, you know, get an internet connection, look at porn for the rest of your life and masturbate to it. You can do that, right? Like, that's within your power. And you will and you could say to this person, you will very quickly discover how miserable, narrow, and uninteresting your life will become, and how wide the gates of hell are when you die. But in my experience, when you say to somebody who's lost hope, okay, fine, just look at porn then, they often kind of look up at you and say, well, no, I don't want to do that. And then sometimes I like to kind of be a little aggressive and say, well, stop your whining. Right. If you want to be free of this, there are things that you can be doing right now to be free of this. Are you seeing a therapist? Do you have accountability and filtering on your phone? Blah, 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 blah. And if they say no, then say, well, stop whining and start acting. Sometimes that tough love is necessary. Now, does that help at all, or was that way too aggressive?
No, I think you're on point. Yeah, but it's difficult. Like any addiction, it's the right. Like, you hope for the best, but this there's isn't always that. Well, they're going to fall back into what they're doing, and why bother?
Yeah, well, this isn't an all or nothing battle. I think we really, it isn't helpful to look at this like either I will never look at porn again, ever, or I will look at porn every day of my life. No, I'd say freedom is not so much a destination we arrive at. Freedom from porn is a daily choice we make by our actions. So if you're addicted to porn and you're trying to seek help and you've decided to stop, guess what? You will certainly have setbacks. But what's important is that we get up and look to Jesus, beg his mercy, and do the and just keep moving forward. Because the only other option is to get sucked down the whirlpool that the porn industry wants you to be sucked down in, and that's not a happy place to go.
Rick, thank you very much for that call. I am sorry that I kept you waiting so long. I missed your call for a little bit. And Matt Frad, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about a difficult subject with us on a Friday afternoon.
You are welcome, Si. You're a great host. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're a great guest. Thanks for being here. The Porn Myth is the book, exposing the reality behind the fantasy of pornography. All proceeds go to Children of the Immaculate Heart, a ministry to those who have been sexually trafficked. If you want to find the website, it's thepornmyth.com. Jesus Christ is the light of nations. Let's stay in that light, and we'll see you again Monday on Catholic Answers Live.